out there, all of our nieces, nephews, and non-binary familials. I'm your Auntie Ruth.
And I'm your Auntie Gina.
And we're
your weird
aunts.
The show. Where, you know what? I forgot the script. But what essentially we do is we watch popular movies and talk about how they relate to past trends and fads because yes. We're old ladies.
Oh, middle-aged uncool ladies.
But, girl.
Yeah.
We have been summoned.
Yes.
We have been summoned. The weird ants. There was the weird film of the year, and we couldn't keep our little weird hands off of it. What did we watch?
We watched Saltburn.
Ooh.
Ugh.
Ooh.
We had to put our pain, our flares, our disabilities on hold to talk about this movie.
Amen.
This movie spoke to me on so many levels because it was set in 2006, which for me personally was like such a growth period for me as a woman, as a human.
Right. And at the time, what were we in the midst of? Like, what was the style trend? Like, grossy, grodio, shitbag. I'm trying to think. Like, I don't even remember the label.
Like, some indie sleaze shit? Is that what you mean?
Indie sleaze! That's right.
My favorite.
Yes, I literally couldn't think of the term. I wasn't even trying to be
critical. Well, I live in it still.
I know. I was like, I don't remember signing up for it, and I don't remember quitting it. I've been indie sleaze.
Indie sleaze.
I love it now because I am and have always been what's considered y'alternative, which is to be both strange and to live in a red state. Amen. But yeah, indie sleaze. Oh God. And it was just full on sleazy, like an eyebrow ring.
You had glitter. You had, stringy long hair.
Yes.
You had the big, stupid, fake glasses. Slutty clothes.
I still have them. We both have big, stupid glasses still.
We do. But they're for prescriptions now.
Now we have progressive lenses in them.
I can't see without them.
Oh my God. And this is like when Kanye, oh my God, like he was fucking killing it with his
I mean, this is before.
This is when he was still dropping out of college.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a beautiful time.
It was.
And people were keeping it weird. They were keeping it hella weird.
Yeah.
So, Saltburn, what a joy.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's very much like of its time, right? You know, it's like but at the same time, it's a very eternal subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. How do you want to start talking about it?
Because, well, let me get, for those that haven't seen it, which I don't know who you are.
Right. It's on Prime. It's your fault.
It's your fault. But, I mean, yeah. So the description on IMDb states, a student at Oxford finds himself drawn into the world of a charming and aristocratic classmate who invites him to his eccentric family's sprawling estate for a summer never to be forgotten.
I will remember you.
Yep.
Okay,
so the story starts with Oliver Quick, who's played by Barry Keoghan.
I'm not going to correct you. I don't have a better understanding of that name.
Okay, thank you. Yikes.
Ugh. Oh, babe.
Okay, but we know him from other hits. Because we covered
The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yes. I mean, he always plays like an insane person. Like, it's all he knows.
That's what I mean. And the other thing that he's so good in is a moral observer. Like, I've heard a lot of people call him a sociopath. And
I mean,
in this movie, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're wrong. But, and he's played this person before, but I, like, to me, in this movie and in a lot of other movies, it's very much like the scorpion and the frog.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, you knew who I was before you gave me that ride across the river.
Yeah.
You know, you knew what I was. Like, and there have been, believe me, there have been so many similar situations in my life where I was, like, taken advantage of by a straight-up scorpion. And I was like, no, you're right. It is my fault.
Are you talking about me?
Uh-oh. I didn't say Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
But I have given you a ride across the river before.
I know.
And I felt that tail.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, now we're both going to drown. And you're like, well, I love drowning. Fuck you.
No, I'm just kidding. It's fine.
no. That's the thing. To me, the reason that he was also in Chernobyl, and the reason he's the perfect person to play this part is because he has a very inscrutable face.
Had. And his face just had a change to it. It's odd.
Well, it's kind of like when they come back for the All-Star season.
Yes.
On RuPaul's Drag Race. Uh-huh.
And they're all filled and plumped.
But he still has, like, that eyelid, right? Because it kind of...
Yeah. The jaw, yeah, though.
The
new jaw. I liked the weak jaw, and I liked the before. But, I mean, if he's feeling himself with this new jaw, and...
Oh, my gosh.
That's good for him.
Reading him to full. Look, and
what?
Yeah, he did. Well, and not only that, but, like, he did leave, like, his original girlfriend for an upgrade the minute. Oh, girl. I know. I think he's,
like right after she had his baby. Oh, God. We are just, like,
we're talking gossiping. Out of school.
We are. But I'm sorry.
But no.
We can go on about Jacob Elordi, too, about his nonsense.
But look, I mean, he told us he was a scorpion. When somebody tells you what they are, believe them. It's like my favorite phrase on TikTok now is when they say, let that man cheat in peace. Like, if you're not going to leave him, let that man cheat in peace. Mm. And that's how I feel about anything in life. Where before you knew what he was before you tried to take him across the river.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about this movie is it is a classic gothic setup. As far as like a the literature, a gothic tale where you have this Saltburn, which is the manor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gives very much the same relationship that the hotel gives
The Shining. Sorry.
The Shining. Yeah. Where the manor itself feels like it's determining the fate.
Yes.
Right. And the butler character is, again, very much like The Shining.
Yes.
Where he sees, as soon as Barry comes in there, game recognizes game.
Yep.
He sees it straight away. And he knows, because this family always brings a project, right? Like a little, you know, a little poor fun pet.
That's what Felix's cousin says, Farley.
Yeah.
Let's introduce the characters. Not that, like, anybody doesn't know. Sorry.
All right.
Okay, so Jacob Elordi plays Felix, and then there's Farley that is his cousin, and then Felix's sister is is it
Valencia? Oh, Venetia.
Venetia.
Venetia. Balenciaga. It might as well. Might as well.
Sorry, I almost said India, and that's a whole other.
Right.
And there's Annabelle. Annabelle is Felix's kind of girlfriend, I guess. And then, so the butler is Duncan.
Ugh.
Duncan.
Yeah. He's really, yeah.
But also, fucking Richard E. Grant in anything.
I love him so much.
I love him so much.
Perfect for this role.
Absolutely. And Rosamund Pike as Felix's mom is just...
Queen.
Yes.
Queen.
Yes. I think the first thing I ever saw her in was that that newer Pride and Prejudice.
Well, yeah, me too. Fuck.
That movie's like 20
me
years
too.
Old.
Me too.
But yeah, that was the first thing I ever saw her in. And she's so beautiful. And she looks like the same.
Well, and that's the thing, because I love people like her, where she really could have played like an angel and sweet girlfriend wife roles for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But she chooses to play little demons, and I love her for that.
Me too. I love
her for that. And that like cold and withholding.
Yeah.
And but I love her in this movie, because again, it's that, it's like a casual cruelty that can be applied, that I've met this woman a million times. It's a very let them eat cake, like so unbothered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's a good way to put it, because I was trying to like put my finger on how to describe her personality or her character, but because she's so like she almost doesn't care. She's aloof to things, but then I don't know. Like she almost seems like she might care. It's hard to put my finger on it, but that's a really good way to describe it.
Well, and that's the thing, because the lovely thing about this movie is it really exposes, because through the gaze of Oliver, we are looking for redeemable qualities. We want to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of this was inevitable. I think had anybody shown a redemptive quality, that it didn't have to go off the rails.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it really is kind of like they didn't realize they took in a wolf, but that wolf never had to turn vicious. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It
shocked me. It shocked me, you know? I mean, I was wondering how this was going to play out because of how people treated him and how he made himself come off and who he portrayed himself as. I was fooled.
And the thing of it is that the character, because I don't know if you've ever seen, like, Brideshead Revisited. Like,
yes, of course.
Again, this is very much of, like, an old trope where... You know, is it the person that so desperately wants to be a part of a better life, a bounder, right? Like they call them bounders, but like people that are trying to enter a different class. And the thing is that they don't even know the class signifiers. They don't know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you may know about sailing, but is it saltwater or freshwater? Because that's a class indicator. You may know about, there's just all kinds of things that can mark you out, even as old money versus new money or whatever it is. And so he's trying to navigate this because it to me, I always kept thinking about Silence of the Lamb, where they were he was talking about Buffalo Bill, and he was like, he covets.
Mm.
And I was like, that is Oliver. There's always a snake in the grass. There's always somebody who wants it more than you do.
Yes. Showgirls. And,
yeah, exactly. Somebody willing to push you down a staircase.
Yes.
And what I think, like, the eternal theme here, and I love, like, Emerald Fennell for setting it up this way, is because it there's a labyrinth. Again, The Shining, same thing, where... And I knew he was a problem when they caught him looking at the labyrinth, right? Like, with the butler is like, what are you doing in here? You know, he's like, why? It's weird that you're just taking a look at the labyrinth. Why don't you? And he just knew, like he just knew.
Yeah.
And he's the only one, by the way, who picks this up.
Yeah.
The only one. Farley, who it also has, like, as the cousin, he relies on them, like, for kindness. But he, at the same time, it's embarrassing for him.
Well, because he also relies on them financially.
Right. And his mother, Pamela, who is obviously the best, to me, the most fabulous character.
Yeah.
Obviously. Has the best style. And
if we were a character, I would obviously, and she is credited as Poor Dear Pamela. That's her name, Poor Dear Pamela.
So
with the best style, by the way. The best style, the best hair, the best everything.
So my assumption is that she is, right, like, his sister, like, Grant, Richard E. Grant's sister, right? Like, their brother and sister.
Yeah.
And she was cut off because she was, like, an addict and...
Yes.
Yeah. So even more so than Rosamund Pike, she should. I think that's what, like... is upsetting for Farley as well, even more than Rosamund Pike. Like, she thought growing up that, you know, this was a given, that she would be fine, that there was...
She was set.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules aren't the same for women, darling. Like...
Still.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, so much so that even though that she was... She was trying to come to her family home to hide mm-hmm. out from a dangerous character who ended up killing her, we assume.
I mean... Like,
they were just tired. They were bored of her. So they sent her back out. And that, to me, that was gave Oliver the permission to, like, really become diabolical.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, if they would eat their own, if they cared so little about her, then there is no alignment with these people that will, I can work to my advantage, because they will toss me out.
Yep.
Just as quickly. But yeah.
But again, Farley even says that, because he even said... that you're just another one of Felix's, I don't know how you put it, like, his projects or whatever, because he felt sorry for him.
Right. And it, you know, it's like, it reminds me of that song, that R.E.M. song, like, another prop to occupy my time, you know?
Yes. Yes.
The thing about, so Felix, what marks a real turn in the movie is that he finds out that Oliver does not come from as rough as a background as he is portrayed.
Yeah, and betrayed.
Betrayed both ways. And he's going to essentially tell everybody that he lied. But then what's wild to me is that, again, like, as a woman, we know that if you're dating somebody and you find out that they have a second family or whatever, you just, you know what, you're like, at that point, you're like, you know what, my bad. I'm just going to leave. I'm not even going to get involved, because I'm not trying to lose my life after, you know, like, I'm not. Anytime you try to expose somebody who's manipulative like that, have you not seen Dateline? They don't love it. They really don't. They don't love the... So if you find out, they actually weren't in the CIA and they don't have 25 degrees...
You keep that to yourself.
That's right. And he really just should have left him at his mom's house.
Yes.
And just been like, you know what? No big deal. Sorry about... Like, the fact that he brought him back and he was like, well, we can't cancel the party.
The party.
Right. And, well, how's that going to look? Right. So, but I'm going to, you know, I am going to expose you to everybody and your future is going to be completely inaccessible because all these power brokers will know you're a liar. And I was like, wow, that's not smart.
Well, I want to take it on back, though, because I feel like, you know, the first person, I mean, after Duncan the butler, to figure it out was Farley. Like, he read it because, like we were saying, you know, he also was relying on the Cattons or whatever, you know, to live that lifestyle that he loved. And he felt, I feel, like Oliver was going to try to take that from him in some way.
100%.
He felt threatened by it. And he was looking for him to ruin everything for him. And that's exactly what happened. And I think once Oliver felt that that's what he was feeling about him, he's like, okay, well.
One of the most interesting exchanges they had is that, so Oliver is caught with the,
Balenciaga. Yep.
And he's a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
He's a vampire.
He is.
Honestly. I don't know. I respect it. I'm okay with it. That one didn't bother me as much.
Okay. Well, it's probably one of the least things, like, bad things in the whole movie. It was...
Anyway, but the thing is that Farley, if he were cool, he could have just kept that information in his pocket. Because that's what I mean. It's like when people are angling, when they're manipulators, you know, you're wondering, like, what cards they choose to play and what information they hold to themselves because mm-hmm. it'll be important. And even Oliver was just like, why did you tell him? Because he knew it wasn't a morality question.
Yep.
He knew it was a power play. He was like, what were you? He was like, because he was really like, are we not secretly allies here? You know
what
I mean?
They should have been.
That's what's so wild to me because they, but that, well, it didn't work out for him either. But he really underestimated his opponent. All of them underestimated.
Yeah.
What I love is that the myth is, right, so having this, it's the myth of the Minotaur, which they play up really, like, quite a bit in the movie. Mm-hmm. And the myth is that Oliver is the Minotaur. And so that's the thing. He was a born predator, right?
Yeah.
So he was a product of greed, right? The Minotaur was.
Yeah.
And he lived in the middle of this maze that he knew like the back of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, he was just born that way. And Felix, he was like, he was very much Icarus, right? He was the beloved son of Daedalus mm-hmm. who designed the labyrinth. And so, and I did feel like Saltburn or the estate, that there is this soft place for this golden child who's never known suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when you haven't lived in the trenches, you know, you honestly think that you are invulnerable to danger.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not looking. You're not looking for predators. You're so above it all. And that's a problem. That's a real problem.
Yes.
And so they set up that dynamic where it is
especially now that there is this sort of class discomfort starting again. It's like when you have this sort of casual cruelty mm-hmm. where people have been insulated their whole lives, and there are so many other people that are smarter, that have seen it all, and they don't think you deserve it. And, like, they're coming for you. They're yeah. coming for you. Like, and I get it. Like, and that's the they always have been. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how difficult you make their entry to access. Like, because they will spend their entire lives studying that maze. Just waiting for a moment of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting for a moment.
Well, he didn't have to wait that long.
No, he did not. He really didn't. And he was able to suss out what the weakness, the chink in everybody's armor. Mm-hmm. So quickly.
Yeah.
So quickly.
That's kind of like one of the things I noted, too, is like how, I don't know if they were, like, just naive or dumb or what it was, but they just showed their underbelly so easily to him and made it so easy for him.
And honestly, it was their own prejudice that made them so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because how many people have done that, you know, based on whatever factor it is that, you know, they just think that good, they really believe that even though they were born on third base, they feel like that somehow if they weren't the best stewards of this power, they wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
And that's not true because he didn't earn it.
Yeah, exactly.
He didn't earn it. And so it's such a blind spot. And you see that like in sort of political discussions all the time where it's like, you know, I never really understood until it happened to me. And people are like, does it really have to happen to you before you empathize? And I'm like, sadly, yes.
Yes.
Yes. It wasn't until, again, like some of these people's very last moments before it even became obvious to them.
Yeah.
You know? Which is wild to me. I mean, it was very satisfying to me, honestly.
Well, I have a question. So, like at the beginning, I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but at the beginning, you know, when they start their semester at Oxford, you know, like Oliver kind of comes off as this loser, and this other kind of loser guy, you know, sees him and is like, you know, trying to attach himself to him. And Oliver's like, ugh, fuck no. And then I don't remember exactly how he finds Felix. I think maybe Felix had done something or was nice to him or something. And I mean, and then he kind of became obsessed with, like, Oliver became obsessed with Felix. And I'm just like, because in a way, there's a part where he said that he loves Felix, but that he also hated him. And I don't really know, like, I think he hated him because of how his family was. I don't know. But he definitely had this obsession with him to where he had manipulated the situation of how he could get into the family or how he could get closer to him, you know? And, I mean, I guess I was just kind of curious as to why he pursued this with him.
I thought about this, too. So, that is the most, to me, that is the most interesting relationship in the whole film, is the outsider. Because I have a feeling that he's been in the same position that Oliver's been in before, where he was somebody's pet and had been, to me, it's very like, like a neurodivergent person who's like tried to be a part of it and then was like when it was too much work was discarded. Because I've been that person in the group where where I was just too much work and I get that and I was discarded. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, don't do me any fucking favors. Like, it's like all you have to do is that what he was trying to do was like, you're one of my kind. Like, we can be each other's friend. And Oliver was like, I see what you're saying, but, like, I've got some pretty big plans. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted him to be aware that he was being used. And he was like, oh, no. I'm actually using these motherfuckers. Because, like, that act of kindness, or like even when Felix, like we see it, it is very much like sort of like a Gone Girl scenario where he made Felix, he gave him the opportunity to be the white knight and the hero.
Yes.
And he fed his ego. So he had the money all along, but like Felix was the tab for him.
The end game the whole time though?
100%. 100%. And because he was a player. Like, he was a player. And, but you, I've seen that, like, happen in people, like, with, like, really dirty relationships, too, where they are so, the person that they present to the other partner to try to get them to love them is so carefully crafted, you know, because they covet. They want this person. They want possession of this person. Yeah. It's not like a free, like, you know me for who I am, really am, and I know you. That's the thing.
Okay, but this also kind of begs the question, has he, I mean, obviously, you know, they say that Felix has done this before. Oliver, you know, brought on pets, but has Oliver also done this to other people before that he got so good
at 100%.
Like, you know, how did, I mean, you don't just all of a sudden,
you know how I know it's not his first time?
What?
When Felix went to expose him to his parents. And, like, the mother didn't seem to understand that there was something amiss, but the dad did.
Yes.
He knew, and he knew, because this is not the first time that Oliver's been a scheming. You know, he just knew it. I could tell, like, the way he was like, honey, don't worry about it. You know what? They don't have to eat the cake. Like, he was, like, not trying to push it. And that came across to me that this is not his first time
being diabolical. But it couldn't have been.
Diabolical.
It couldn't have been. And then that makes it even more intriguing. Like, how did he get so good? Because when you find out, like, well, I don't want to say talk about it yet, but, like, when you find out at the end how he got to the point, and it's just crazy. Because, you know, you're watching it at the same, almost in the same way, maybe not through the eyes of, but like Felix, like you think that this is, you know, just some dorky kid who has nothing. You know, he says he's like poor, he has no family. And, you know, he got this scholarship or something to go to Oxford. And, you know, Felix had it handed to him. And Felix somehow feels sorry for him. And so he befriends him because he's, like you said before, like the white knight.
Right.
And, it's crazy to me that, that all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, I'm aware of how to do this. But, I mean, obviously, yeah, like, he had to have done something. But then I'm like, oh, what did he do before to get so good at this? Because he's a little too good.
I'll tell you, because I have been that family member where I was at Christmas and my uncle would bring home a different girl every year. And she would even say, you know, I even looked up his history, or I even looked up, you know, tried to see if he'd ever been arrested before. And I was like, and yet you're still here. Okay. And I was like, he's got a lengthy record. He has a lengthy record. And I was like, and I would never call them the right name. Never. Because I honestly, and I wasn't even trying to be bad about it, but I was like, because I know there's going to be a new Paula, Michelle, Kelly, you know, there's always, you know, it's.
Yeah, every year's a different person.
And I'm like, and I'm not trying to give up the ghost, but I'm just saying, like, so you know. And if she had asked me a question, I would have told her, but I was like, I don't, if you knew how long his record was and you let him still move went.
Yeah,
and you let him move into your house, I don't know what to tell you, like. And so I think, yeah, it's never their first time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, like, with my uncle, he got his first girl pregnant at 15. Like, I mean, this was, they don't just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So it's like,
Do you think that maybe his parents didn't care? Okay, so let me just say, Oliver says that he has no family or anything, but then Felix finds out that that is actually a falsehood and says that, hey, I found your mom, I found your dad, this is interesting. And then he, for whatever fucking reason, Felix thinks this is a good idea, let's go see your fucking parents. Like, stupid, why would you do this? So he goes and takes them there, and I mean, his family seems, they're not rich, but they seem like they're doing pretty good. And, you know, so then I'm like, well, shit, if he, like, took over this family, like, is that maybe why his parents are doing okay? And why they're like, you know, maybe we'll just keep quiet about it.
I don't think so. I don't think his mother understands, like, what she has. I think she's, to me, she seemed really shocked. Mm. But I think the father knows that. Yeah, I think he knows he's a little menace. Okay. I do. And I think he just did not want to get involved. Like, he knew something was amiss, and he didn't want to get in the way. And I think he also knows he's dangerous.
Mm.
I really believe that. And I think that he has tried to protect the family from him before.
Isn't that often the mother's way, though? Is, you know, maybe she does know that her child is this monster, but she doesn't want to believe it.
100%. I mean, like, look, denial is not just a river in Egypt, as you know. Mm-hmm. Like, but it really was a turning point. Like I said, like, it had Felix at the point that he figured it out.
Yep.
Had he not delighted in embarrassing him, then.
And he did. Yeah. And then he wanted nothing to do with him after that.
Yeah, and he was gonna ruin his reputation, and yes. So his ability to network, because the way that, like, especially in the UK, the power brokers, it's a small group of people. It's not like you can go. It's not like, you know, in the US or whatever. Like, if you've, like, ruined your reputation, like, maybe you can go to, LA or another, you know, or Miami, and maybe you won't have the same group of power brokers, you know, you can sort of, but that's just not the way it is here. Like, there's only one, you know, there's only one group of power brokers there. And if your reputation is ruined, like, that's it. It doesn't matter that you went to Oxford. Like, you're not trustworthy.
Yeah, yeah, like, exactly.
Like, his whole future would have been destroyed by this.
Yeah. And that's why he had to, like, take him out one by one.
100%. And I would love to pretend that there wasn't a part of us that wasn't rooting for him to do it and get away with it.
Of course.
That's why there was, like a, not that we believe that he was right, but, like, at no point, I think, like, as the observer, as the audience, it was like they were on trial for the first half of that movie, and it's like,
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Do you? It's kind of like, do you think that they deserve what they've got? Like, I mean, do you feel sorry for these people or this family when it falls apart? And you, it's like the Mask of the Red Death, or any of those those tales where it's like. You know, do you, when the plague finally creeps in, do you really mourn for the loss of this family? Or are you like, no, I mean, you pretty much
deserved it.
You were not good stewards. You were not good stewards of this position, mm-hmm. you know? Like you were, there was, again, you were not overtly cruel, but at the same time, like, there wasn't any reason that Pamela should have been in a position. Like, she was put in danger and ultimately killed, like, when she didn't have the protection of her family. Mm-hmm. And the only reason they left her to die is because they were bored.
Yes!
They were bored of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, like, where... why it feels like so of the moment now, because we're in this sort of gilded age now where it's like, you know, we're fighting over resources. And I'm like, well, do the people that even have these resources, do they really deserve it? Are they good stewards?
No.
Like, you know, when there's like life and death decisions to be made, do you trust them to make it? Like, are they thinking of other people or, you know, no. Obviously not. So it's like, you know,
well, another reason why, like, I was kind of questioning, like, Oliver's feelings for Felix is, and I hate to bring it up because all anybody will fucking talk about is the bathtub scene where, you know, he feels that, like, I don't know, like, obsession with him. Like, why does he do that? Why does he has to have some kind of feelings for him, I feel like, to go into the bathtub and drink his cum water.
Well, to me, he doesn't even know Felix.
Right.
That's what it is to me. It's not about Felix.
Okay.
To me, it is what he represents. You know, to be born into this privilege and to be so beautiful and radiant because suffering, want, that fear has never touched you. You glow mm-hmm. so bright.
Yeah,
I feel like that is what he covets. It's not actually Felix. It's not anything that he does. Because even when they're, like, in the field, they're reading Harry Potter.
Yes!
They have books that are some of the most valuable books in the whole world, and they're sitting there reading Harry Potter.
I know! I thought that was hilarious. But it kind of just shows, like, also how normal they are.
And, like, when we talk about our playlist, because they mention the song, what I love, Rosamund Pike says, I'm not from that pulp song. I'm not even from Greece, where it talks about.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah. And where it talks, it's an amazing song, but it talks about class where. You know, these people, they take essentially these field trips where they pretend to be poor, you know, and that's because they think it's cool. It's just a costume to them, but they don't know what it's like to, you know, to live a life with no meaning or control and there's nowhere else to go. And, you know, it's like you can call your dad and he'll get you out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Oliver is in love with, that feeling that you are just this gold, this beautiful golden boy, you know, this Icarus that flies too close to the sun because he doesn't even understand risk, you know?
And then, like, I don't care if I spoil anything, but, like, you know, I feel like once he does end up killing Felix. I feel like he's almost mad at him for making him do it because, you know, because I think even worse than the bath, or not worse, but odd than the bathtub scene is the scene where he's fucking his grave dirt.
Right.
But
to me, again, to me, that just symbolizes that it was never about him. Like, mm-hmm. It was never about, like, Felix. Like, it was what he represented. Because he actually never made a move on Felix.
No.
Never. And and not to say that it wouldn't have worked. I'm not even saying that, you know, because he was straight in the movie or, like, because I don't even think that Oliver was gay or straight either. I think it was just a tool.
Yes.
And it was in the same way, like we're talking about Buffalo Bill. It's like he didn't love women. He wanted to be a woman.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he didn't love Felix. He wanted to be Felix.
Yeah.
You know? And he wanted to possess Felix, you know, and that I think that, like, when they talk about that, that almost cannibalization of a person, you know, where you want them so desperately all to your own, you know, it's like, it doesn't even have anything to do with them at a certain point, you know, that's how I felt about it.
Yeah. No, that's like, that's kind of everything I was questioning, you know, like the whys, and I'm kind of dumb and I didn't really get it, but that makes so much sense of, like, even that reference to Buffalo Bill, like, you know, he had this obsession with wanting to be that.
Right. Yeah. It was never personal. That, you know, it's like, look, it's not personal. It's just drag. So it's never personal. It's just drag. And I do think that he just loved the way he operated in the world, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
To me, it was kind of like, well, to bring it back to David Bowie, but, like, the way that, like, Bowie looked at Mark Bolan, you know, like, just Lady Stardust, like, just this, you know, the way that he moved through the world like a star, like, it just opened up his eyes to a way of being that he just was never free. Like, he was, Oliver himself was so self-conscious.
Yes.
You know, and was always, like, just hyper-vigilant, taking in everything. And the way, the absolute ease and grace he had in the world to be so above it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, like, what he coveted. But it wasn't, again, if he didn't feel the need to embarrass him and expose him, if he could have just said, if he could have seen the humanity in Oliver and be like, oh, I just wanted to be close to you and access to you, be like, okay, well, first of all, you need to go to therapy. But, like, if he had just left it there, he'd be like, oh, I get that. He didn't have to, like, continue a relationship or continue access. But, like, again, it was that same cruelty to be, like, so easily discarded.
Yeah.
You know, the same way they would happily throw out. It didn't even matter. They were happily throwing out. God, I keep forgetting his name. You know, the
Farley.
All these names. Balenciaga, Farley. Yeah, it was like, even though he was raised with these people, he was so easily discarded by them, you know?
Like Pamela.
Oh, 100%.
Fucking Pamela, like her name even. She's the only one without a bougie, interesting name.
It's so sad. Like, she just never had a chance. And I've met Pamela's before, and I totally get it, because and Balenciaga had the same problem where she needed to feel loved so desperately. And so she was just like, how far do I have to fall before somebody reaches a handout and like really notices me and I'm like, darling, forever.
That's what I'm saying. That's never going to happen. It doesn't matter the amount of damage. They can see you starving, bleeding, desperate, and that it's never coming. And but that again, that and I do think she was the closest. Again, she was probably the closest to seeing Oliver, her and Farley, for seeing who he really was. And they still, it did save them, you know, like it. And yeah, it works out where Oliver, through a series of unfortunate events, does come to possess Saltburn. But I think it's worth watching how he finesses. Cause, talk about the long con.
It's amazing. But it wasn't even that long. But yes, the short long con.
Well, absolutely. Because he didn't...
I guess it was all like, summer.
No, because when he met with the mom, that was years later.
Oh, you're
that
right.
That was years later. You're it was like right. present day.
Oh my God, so I forgot about that.
So he waited like 15 years.
Yes. Oh my God, you're right. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're a grown man now.
Yeah.
Right.
And just, yeah. And, but again, he was scheming the whole time. He was scheming, you know? And so she must have thought he was absolutely no threat because she didn't hear from him. She never saw him, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously didn't suspect him at all. But, my favorite part.
Our playlist.
Right now. Our playlist, girl. I've been waiting. I've been waiting to see what you were going to put on here.
Okay. So me first?
Oh, either way. Whatever you prefer.
You go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
I don't think that mine is going to be as fun, but...
No, that's not true.
Okay, so I am putting a Pulp song on there, but I'm putting Misshapes.
Okay.
Because, like, what's the point in being rich if you can't think what to do with it, because you're so bloody thick.
Hello.
Like, for real. And I'm also putting, Lily Allen, The Fear.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to put LaRue Bulletproof on there.
I almost put that on there, too.
Yeah, just yes. Because it's to me, that screams, like, I can't even think of, like, 2006, 2007 without thinking about her. Well, I don't know when that song was released, but, like, that
2006!
Oh, was it? Okay,
yes. Good.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just thought for the vibe. I'm staying with that vibe. And, like, runner-up, like, Block Party Banquet, maybe, but,
yeah,
you know. But that's me. That's what
I love.
I also,
that.
When I think about Murder on the Dance Floor, it also made me think of like Elvis Costello's Watching the Detectives.
Okay.
You know, where she's like, she's filing the nail while they're filing her nails while they're dragging the lake.
Yeah.
And it has like that very, you know,
I love
like,
that song.
Yeah. I love that idea where it's like, sure, you know, like the whole premise of the song where it's like, granted, there was somebody straight up killed on the dance floor, but this song hits so hard, surely you understand. Wait, I love that. But I've got things to do. But anyway, yeah, that's love. Me. So what is yours? Love.
Okay. So the first song I picked was Rich by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. And, it came out way before that, but still, that's okay.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's fine. Yeah. And then the second song I picked was Why Can't I Be You by The Cure.
Amazing.
Hello.
Amazing.
You said it. You said it. Somehow I knew it. Okay, and I feel like, I'm so sorry, but, like, it was such a last-minute thing for me to choose this song, but it was, like, the song lyrics went with the story so well. And I know it's like, okay, whatever, but it's Bathwater by No Doubt.
I thought about that too.
Okay,
I swear to God I did. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it perfect?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, so that was my third choice.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. And it's time, the time period appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I swear to God, I thought of it too. I'm glad you did. Okay, that was. I knew I was gonna love it. I'm gonna listen the shit out of this list when you put it together.
It's pretty good.
I love it. I love it. So okay, well, anyway, we and guys, if we are like we didn't even get to it, but if you were scandalized by this movie in a way in which you were like, you know what, I like being scandalized. That's all we watch.
Yes,
that's all we watch.
It's our favorite. Like,
it's our favorite. Like, my favorite kind of movie is psychosexual hellscapes.
I want to be shocked and appalled, but I'm not. I love it.
It is difficult for me to be, you know, gobsmacked anymore. Where I'm like, same. Oh well, that's shocking.
This movie wasn't shocking to me, but I loved everything in it.
No, I did too. I feel like it's like a little baby. It's like a little baby shocking.
Yes.
Like toddler's first shock. Toddler's first electric shock. I mean, I'm saying, like, girl, just watch The Piano Teacher and then we'll talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like, girl, you know, woo.
But if you want more.
That's all we do here.
That's all we do. Mostly.
Mostly. Or, yeah, you know, but, like, I just, anytime there's, like, something, like, really horrible, but, yeah, and then we, like, we just love a good old cult classic.
Yeah, and bad cult wigs.
Always. But, yeah.
So check out our other episodes. Check out our other episodes. If you love us, you will follow us on Instagram at Your Weird Aunts. You will follow us on Facebook at Your Weird Aunts. Yeah. You will follow our Spotify playlist at Your Weird Aunts on Spotify. Because, listen, I really dig for the good songs on these playlists. And
Y'all, the Spotify playlists are out of control. Like, honestly, really, it's good. Like, it's worth it. And that's the thing. We just like Your Weird Aunts in real life, there is no rhyme or reason.
No.
We'll take 6 months off and we'll come back. We love you. We're always there, but we're not physically present very often. It's just a little gift. We just show up and it's a little gift.
With a gift.
100%.
Yes.
We're givers. We're lovers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But don't rely on us. I mean,
yeah, don't rely on us. Absolutely not. I mean, like, we'll, like, you know, call us up if something turns bad. Like, if you're escaping a relationship or, like, you know, you've summoned a demon, then, like, we'll figure something out.
Absolutely.
But anyway, all right, girl, well, it's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you, too. And, you know, maybe we'll do this again in another 8 months.
I don't see why not.
Yeah,
we may go on a tear and meet in next week. We never know.
I mean, probably not, but maybe.
No, the chances are very slim. But yeah. All right.
Okay, well, with that, I am your Auntie Ruth.
I'm your Auntie Gina.
And we are
your weird
aunts.